Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 3:10 p.m. That is Central Time. Today is April 13th. Thought we'd kick off with gold. It's clearing the $2,000 level. There have been two occasions in the last 3 years where it's done that too, but neither of them were sustained. So now the big question is whether this is the big event. And at least on this occasion, we have a weaker dollar. Now, I think there are two conditions that need to be met in order to have a big bull market in gold. Well, the first one is a weaker dollar. So, whenever the dollar strengthens, it puts pressure on gold. When it weakens, then it's supportive for gold prices. But then you have negative real interest rates. So, one of the reasons why gold was going sideways for so long is because over the course of the last couple of years, we had negative real interest rates becoming more negative all the way from 2018 through to 2020, and that was supportive for gold. But then from 2020 onwards, negative real interest rates stayed negative but didn't get any more negative, and then they went from negative into positive territory on a constant maturity swap basis. Now, what we're starting to see here is that the potential is that the trend has changed and that we're going to start looking at the possibility of negative real interest rates becoming progressively more negative going forward. So that is highly supportive of gold prices. And then, of course, we have to remember that ranges or explosions waiting to happen. It's been going sideways for 3 years. The possibility is clear that when it breaks out to new all-time highs, it will unleash new sources of demand, most particularly those people who have been attempting to short at the upper side of the range. And then it will attract new money in as well as people see the new all-time highs being sustained. Then we're also seeing that silver prices, having broken the succession of lower rally highs, continue to push higher from here. And we're in positive territory again in here today. Now we have a very sharp short-term overbought condition. So it's not going to keep going up by 50 cents every day. And ultimately, there will be some form of consolidation. But we do have a higher reaction, though. It has broken the 2-year downtrend. So it is reasonable to anticipate that whenever we do get some consolidation, that it will also put in another higher reaction low and offer a quite attractive buying opportunity. Then platinum prices have also started to appreciate, and they have now cleared the psychological $1,000 level. Now, I've been saying that is a psychological level for several years already, and it's been both above and below it. But whenever platinum clears the $1,000 level, it is a psychological event for many investors. So there is obviously the potential that it will become a more topical metal to talk about as a luxury good as well as a limited supply environment. And this rather odd situation where we've had palladium prices trading well in excess of platinum prices for a prolonged period of time, it doesn't look like it's going to be unwound anytime soon, and the price is just beginning to steady from the region of the lows from back in 2020. Now, there is a sequence of events that we tend to get when gold is on the cusp or of breaking out or has just broken out. Because as soon as gold breaks out, then people start thinking about how to gain leveraged exposure. So then they look at silver, and silver being poor man's gold, also a much smaller market, tends to be considerably more volatile. So when we think then about the performance of silver relative to gold, it is quite normal for silver to outperform in the second psychological perception stage of a big bull market. I think that the first portion of that was in 2020. We've had a really quite lengthy hiatus, but now silver is in fact outperforming gold once more, and has also put in a higher reaction low. But after people then think about where next to find that leverage, and gold shares are the next on the list. So the performance of the NYSE Arca Gold Bugs Index relative to gold has been pretty mundane for the last several years. And when we go back and look at lots of back history, well, then we've got a very long base formation that's been underway. So we had the big pop on the upside relative to gold in 2016. It subsequently came all the way back down and tested the lows between 2018 and 2020, and again in 2022, and indeed as recently as March. And now it's starting to steady once more. So what this also helps to highlight is that the outperformance of gold miners relative to gold is in a very immature state. And it is generally in the period when gold miners have not yet started spending a lot of money on exploration that the shares tend to do best. And that is pretty much where we are right now, that we had a big pop on the upside in 2016, and there was a lot of enthusiasm about gold, but then subsequently, relative to the gold price, gold shares didn't do anything. Now, we have not had a lot of money spent on new gold mines in the last decade. There was plenty of money spent on new gold mines between about 2003 and 2013. But since the financial crisis, it's been a lot more difficult to raise money for gold, and particularly because gold prices were going down. So, as we think about what's next, well, we know that Newmont is attempting to buy Newcrest, and that's a major gold miner attempting to overtake another major gold miner. And Newcrest had a very well-stated objective of only wanting to buy tier one assets. And of course, Newmont has taken that on board, and they're just buying Newcrest to gain access to those tier one assets. And Newcrest also had a really attractive all-in cost of production because they were producing so much silver from their primary mine in Australia that they actually had a negative cost of production for gold. So that is obviously something that makes it attractive. In fact, they used basically all of the bounty from the Telfer mine to go off and explore all, or well, I guess buy up attractive assets all over the world, like here in Papua New Guinea. And Newmont really has only just begun to start rallying from the lower side of the range. One of the more attractive characteristics for the company is that they pay a dividend linked to the gold price. So that is offering at least the potential for dividend growth in an environment where gold prices are appreciating. Then the next sector that generally tends to go is the junior miners. So these would be the kinds of companies that are close to production. And we've also seen here that the succession of lower rally highs has been broken, and it is steadying within what has been a decade-long base formation. And they really did collapse between 2011 and 2013, or I guess all the way down really to the lows in 2015. Then subsequently, when risk appetite appreciates as gold continues to do well, then we see the explorers starting to attract interest. Now, they're not anywhere close really to the upper side of their base formation. And it's also a lengthy base formation. And the potential is that as money comes into the sector, then these explorers, where they've locked down leases, they'll get access to capital as well. Then I think when we think about what's next, well, obviously, if we have the conditions necessary for a gold bull market in the form of a weaker dollar and a negative real interest rate or an increasingly negative real interest rate environment, then we will see money flowing into this sector. But of course, what it also implies is that there will be significant reasons for why the dollar would be going down. Now, the 10-year yield was up 5 basis points in here today. So investors are still of the opinion that the Federal Reserve will raise rates again in about 3 weeks from now. And the 3-month yield is testing the 5% handle in here today. But we are not yet at a point where they are beginning to talk about cutting rates. And they would cut rates in response to either much higher unemployment or a big downward surprise in growth. But one thing that I thought was especially interesting today is that all of the news headlines were talking about PPI. So the PPI ex food and energy month over month was lower than anticipated. And I thought that was the main headline, but what it really tended to overshadow the fact that final demand on a year-over-year basis was down considerably more than the estimate. And on a month-over-month basis, it was significantly below the estimate. So maybe we should just look at that chart, because final demand is something that we should be paying attention to. If producer prices are trending downwards and the demand for products is also trending lower, then that's representative of a significant slowdown. And when we think that this is, I guess, a straw in the wind, we already have very tight monetary conditions. We have interest rates that have jumped exceptionally quickly. And now we have PPI final demand figures that have collapsed, considering that this time last year it was close to 12% and now it's at 2.75%. That's a major decline, and it's now approaching the upper side of the underlying range. And this is a trend that doesn't show any real sign just yet of turning around. And I think this is also one of the reasons why the dollar is weak and gold is firm, because investors are looking at these kinds of events and thinking, well, we still have inflationary pressures, but we have the potential that growth is going to slow down significantly before inflation. Now, obviously, slowing growth will have a knock-on effect on inflation. And what investors are betting on is that interest rates will stop rising and will start to be cut before the inflation genie has been put back in the bottle. And then we will have higher net inflation overall. And obviously, that will contribute to negative real interest rates, which is obviously why gold is doing better now. But what it will also do is ensure that inflationary pressures stay higher for longer, that the Federal Reserve will act to preserve growth and employment rather than pursue the price stability mandate in a single-minded manner, and will rather perhaps take a couple of cycles to get inflation back down. But of course, that means several years of somewhat higher inflation. So then we are also likely to see continued upward pressure on other commodities. Now, oil prices today were down about $1, but copper prices were in positive territory. And I think this is also in response to the EPA decision yesterday in the USA that they're basically going to make it practically impossible to, and of course, this is assuming that the EPA edict in fact goes ahead, but they're going to make it practically impossible to produce petrol or diesel vehicles within the next 6 to 8 years. And that's going to be a material question then for a company like Ford, where they make electric vehicles, but they do that in service to also producing large pickup trucks running on both petrol and diesel. So the share is pulling back from the upper side of the range and the region of the 200-day moving average. Now, it's also, I think, worth highlighting that we're in an environment where interest rates are rising. It's becoming more expensive to buy cars. And Tesla is engaged in a price war. Now, the share was in mildly negative territory today, but it's still hovering here around the $2 level. Amazon was up today, and that was in response to the CEO coming out and basically saying they're going to continue to invest in their moonshot type of bets, even though they're firing workers left and right. So the share is hovering here around the $100 area and testing the region of the 200-day moving average, but has not quite yet been able to push up and through it. Now, the majority of stock markets were in positive territory today, and the Nasdaq was up about 1%. So, firming within this range that's been forming since the beginning of April. And I think that is basically betting that the Fed will have, or it's really a clear bet that the Federal Reserve will cut rates before a recession to forestall the impact on growth. Now, I think it's also very important to highlight that the S&P 500 banks index is underperforming, but it was in positive territory today. So even there, the stock market is taking heart, but this is a modest rebound relative to the size of the decline. And on a relative basis, the banks are underperforming in a really significant manner. And that's not generally good news. Now, of course, where companies have had good news is in the luxury goods sector, where the return of the Chinese consumer after 3 years of lockdown has really boosted demand for luxury goods. So Hermes is approaching the €2,000 per share level and is very overextended in the short term. Then LVMH is just breaking out and was up in really strong fashion in here today. And Burberry, and let me see if I can find the let me see if I can find the UK listing. So I do apologize for the pause here. But Burberry has also popped on the upside. It's been consolidating in the region of the upper side of its range for the last 5 years and is now looking likely to extend that breakout. So that's certainly investors taking some relief from the return of Chinese consumption after the long lockdown. So far, at least, demand in the luxury goods sector has not reflected the tightening liquidity environment internationally. I think that's largely inevitable that it will, but so far at least we are not seeing any real sign of underperformance there just yet. Then I think it's also just worth looking at some of these currencies. So the South African rand was stronger today in a fairly dynamic manner, and it's firming from the region of the 2020 lows. So we see it inversely here. And another inverse chart here is the Brazilian real. So it has now strengthened to test the 1,000-day moving average. Now it was a little weaker in here today, but there's a clear succession of lower rally highs for the dollar over the last 3 years. This looks like a base formation, and I think it is more likely than not that the Brazilian ETF will benefit from the strength of the currency and also the renewed interest in a number of the kinds of commodities that Brazil exports. So the iShares MSCI ETF is bouncing from the lower side of its range. Now, there was news today that Warren Buffett has been selling out of BYD and Taiwan Semiconductor. I think it is worth highlighting that BYD, it did have a really impressive rebound from the lows in the third quarter last year, but overall it has been in an exceptionally volatile range for more than 2 years already. And there's a price war underway in China, where Tesla is attempting to really put pressure on a number of those Chinese companies. And this is after a lot of those companies had spent a lot of money on boosting their capacity. So they're being squeezed on both sides. I think that is a more proximate reason for why they would take some of the money out of BYD, particularly considering that it is so highly appreciated already. And then there's the additional question about geopolitics. Now, of course, geopolitics is something that, for example, stopped people from investing in Russia altogether. Those that did were willing to take the bet that the geopolitical element wouldn't really have an effect on their investment, and they were proven wrong. Now people are thinking in the same terms about China, that some people will say they wouldn't invest there at all because of the geopolitical risk. Others would say, well, it's probably not going to be that bad, and I will take my chances. But ultimately, when the direction of travel is towards a more fraught relationship between the USA and China, then when there is another reason to sell, well, then I think that the geopolitical element is something that does come to bear as one of the additional kickers, that you need a reason to sell in addition to the geopolitical risk when it's not urgent. And I suspect that it's a similar type of calculus when we think about Taiwan Semiconductor, because the share massively accelerated in 2020 and then collapsed in 22. And the splurge of activity and the volume of cash that was poured out into the pockets of consumers isn't going to be repeated. So it's a wonderful company, and they produce some of the most efficient and fastest chips in the world. And that's not, or at least that's unlikely to change in the near term, but they're not going to have the same jump in demand. Now, Nvidia has been surging because people are betting that it will have an additional surge of demand. But I don't think that that's likely to be on the same magnitude as what we had in 2020 and 2021. There's a lot of money that's getting poured into artificial intelligence right now, and Nvidia has certainly been one of the primary beneficiaries of that. But the share is up from 100 to 264 in the space of 6 months, and I think it is more likely than not that we're going to get a good-sized consolidation, and it could easily come back and test the region of the 200-day moving average, and it could even then still be in a recovery scenario. So we're in an interesting environment where the stock market is basically looking past any real potential that slowing economic growth will have a material impact on earnings. And the commodity markets, but particularly gold, are pricing in the potential that there is going to be a negative real interest rate environment that is going to be progressively more negative because the Fed will have to cut rates in response to deflationary forces emerging as inflation fades into the background. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.